Thanks for joining me today. I'd like to invite you to visit my website, johnburney.org, where you can join my mailing list, access video, audio, and written teachings, and sign up for retreats, as well as find the schedule for my public gatherings. So nice when you find the ease of being that isn't defending, that isn't wanting something, that isn't avoiding anything, that's actually fully available, just fully here, not living in the thought forms of the past, the future, or the present, but actually just deeply communing with this creative, intelligent, learning life force of our being, aligned with that. That's how we find our way, not because we know how to find our way or anybody knows how to find the way, because nobody really does. That's just the need to feel secure, which is fine on a relative level, not a problem, but not to be confused with surrendering into intimacy, where your heart is just a flower that's fragrant. If someone is open, they'll enjoy the fragrance. If not, they won't even notice it. No one, you won't care. It's not a personal achievement. It's not a personal accomplishment. It's not something you'll wave a flag about, put on a neon blinking sign. I'm here. What's called freedom, enlightenment, awakening? It's just what you are. It's what everything is. It's the essence of every atom, of every planet, of every sun. It's the essence of you and me, animate, inanimate. It's all energy. It's all vibration. It's all space and energy. And when you open into this vastness, people call it a spiritual experience, but that's old language. It's okay, but kind of burdened, kind of old, a little rusty. It's hard to get the hinges working on that thing, even with WD-40. That's just you aligning with it, that which you already were, are, am, something. And you know, because it feels like you're finally home, or at peace, or fulfilled, even if it's just for a flash. That flash will inspire you if your seed is germinating. Not everyone follows the flash. It doesn't matter. It's not a, it's not right or wrong, good or bad. It's just how it is. But every acorn has the wisdom in it of the oak tree. Whether that acorn finds the right fertile ground and the right environment to sprout and root and ground and grow and become and evolve. So this creative movement of our being, this creative life force, a learning force, not learning like intellect, there's no mind, there's no intellect in it. It's a kind of profound knowing of our being. We learn to trust that as we become more embodied in what we call presence. And it's this back and forth and not knowing and knowing and feeling and lost and confused and then aligned and then all, you know, it gets, that's okay. Don't let people who apparently have certainty fool you. Trust the ones who are questioning and tell you that they don't know. And that isn't how it works. Not on a relative level. On a relative level, knowing has a place, obviously. How to keep the car in the right lane. How to, you know, turn off the iron. Or the, you know, whatever. Do your arithmetic. 1 + 1. People are afraid, oh, I'm really afraid of getting enlightened because I'm afraid I just won't be able to work. I won't be functional. I'll just be this, you know, glowing thing in the corner. I will have forgotten myself. Yeah. But your personal self will never have been happier because the burden will be lifted of the false responsibility that it was thinking it had to get enlightened. And that's a big burden to let go of and a good one to let go of when you can trust that you are a growing, have germinated, everyone here has, and that you're sprouting and growing, and you'll find your way. You are finding your way, even though you don't know it or you don't believe it. You'll say, well, but that person found their way, and I've been doing this for 30 years, and how come I haven't? That's just a relative construct that is frustrated. That's all. As my mom used to say to me, just get it off your chest, honey. I think I'm going to write a book. Get it off your chest, honey. She would have been, July 3rd, she would have been 100. And what's today? Oh, today was the day she left her body. July 7th. She hung around for her birthday. She did. She loved her birthday. And I made her favorite carrot cake. Some friend of mine who's a professional chef gave me this crazy recipe and bought me all the equipment and, you know, I have the KitchenAid mixer and the different pans. And then, oh my God, this thing is like, creates this gigantic double-decker, you know, frosted, amazing, best thing you ever eat in your life cake. I haven't made it since. It was the last time I made it. It was one before she, for her last birthday. I just haven't had, I don't know, maybe I'll do it this year in celebration of her 100th. Yeah. Get it off your chest, honey. Just get it off your chest, honey. So clear. Such a great teaching. But so many, I know, we're told, shut the fuck up. In case you didn't hear that on the podcast. Shut the up. You can fill in that other word so iTunes doesn't X us out. Children should be seen and not heard. Or you can't have those feelings because that's a sin. And so you were shamed and blamed and learned to carry around a giant burden of guilt for being human. So time to unload the baggage. Yeah, important. It isn't just mainline Shakti, you know, and somehow transcend the pain of human. Of course, mainline Shakti to really deeply jump in and have it permeate every cell in your body, great. But that's the beginning of healing. That's the beginning of, that's the beginning. And every moment is the beginning from then on. Because you're not getting somewhere. Not really. Have you noticed that? That you're always here? You think, well, I'm on the freeway and I'm driving over 17 and I'm going to Satsang. Or there's just... John was holding the steering wheel rattling. I'm just doing a verbal description, so I go, what did he say? You know, don't you hate that on recordings? And you know, you don't know what, why were they laughing? Doing a little cart, you know, animation description. And feelings are our nature, you know. I don't understand this. I don't know what it is. You know, sometimes I hear people think that if you still have feeling, you're not there. Like where? Dead? Inhuman? All creatures have feeling. I don't know about all, but some of them don't look like they have feelings. Some of those insects, you know, the praying mantis. Not sure. Very scary. Oh, that reminds me of a very funny thing. I don't know if you ever saw, forgive me for telling this story, okay? This will be your practice to forgive me today. But it was here in Santa Cruz, actually, when I was a student at UC back in 1971, up on the hill. And we went to see this movie called, we probably saw it downtown somewhere, The Hellstrom Chronicles. And it was about, I think it was about, you know, the mating behavior or something, mating and reproductive behavior of like insects and animals and stuff. You know, it was a big screen. And see, I can't believe I'm telling this. Oh, gee, now I'm in it. Okay. Anyway, I have to tell it, right? Since I do. Okay. So there's the praying mantis, giant, full giant screen, and it's, you know, it's looks, and that size looks rather alien, like an alien creature of some kind. And the male mounts the female, and, you know, it's doing what it's doing. And the female turns its head up like this. And it's, there's no expression, of course. It's just this. And eats the head off of the male. And he keeps going. With no head. Now, this is proof of a lot of things. It not only doesn't take brains, it doesn't even take a head. So. That was a Santa Cruz memory way back. Probably almost, how old was I? 18 maybe? Well, how old am I? Oh no, I can't do the math yet. I'm 65, so you can figure that out. I think the point is that we have nature that operates, and very much our nature is feelings. Freedom, enlightenment, isn't that you won't have feelings. It's just that you're not going to suffer because of them. You're not going to get attached into a separate identity because of them. They're just going to move through you like rain, like wind. You'll still have an appetite for food. You'll still get tired and need to sleep. You'll still get old, sick, and die. You're still human. So, it's amazing how important and how many people want and need, and don't even know it, that they need permission to be human, and that's not going to get in the way of becoming free. Actually, it's going to facilitate it. If you know how to allow yourself and give yourself permission and to be able to forgive yourself for being an imperfect human being, that it will forward and deepen your communion with this divine, creative, learning life force of all being that we are. Nothing is excluded in the ultimate ecosystem. Nothing. Everything is recycled. So we're this extraordinary ecosystem, even as a separate individual. And sometimes, as you know, life is incredibly hard, incredibly painful, incredibly overwhelming, actually impossible to go on. And life can be like that. And when you have opened to your deep nature and have that profound, nurturing resource of being, it gives you a kind of courage and strength and willingness and ability to face this moment, whatever it is, in a way that just isn't possible otherwise, because there's no space. So awakening allows you to be human, actually, fully human, integrated, and really able, maybe for the first time, to love, to love and be loved, which is, I think, really what the ultimate human, that's the most important thing for a human being, is to love and be loved. more important than all your accomplishments and everything you've done and all of it. Those are all great. But without love, the human being is not complete. And when you awaken, you discover the real meaning of love, which is this incredible connection to everything, whether you have a significant other or not, that you will feel loved and supported, and you will feel loving profoundly. And dogs will follow you. And a lot of other interesting things will happen. I think you'll actually learn to love yourself. Because most of us didn't learn that. I don't mean love yourself like some ego trip, you know, like self-centered ego trip. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about loving yourself like the most nurturing, caring, supportive mother you could possibly have. Free of judgment, free of expectation, just fully available to love and accept. Because when you experience that, and that's very much an experience of being in the presence, this profound presence, you'll start to feel that nurturing. Your relationship with yourself will take a very important turn. And the war will be over. And there will be peace within you. Doesn't mean you won't get triggered or activated or reactive. You know, that's just human. It's okay. No big deal. But you won't get stuck there. You won't live there. You won't get stuck there. Just won't. It's just a movement that's comes and goes, temporary. Just like this life is temporary. But that which we are is, we don't understand it. We can't really even, we have our little kind of attempt at describing it, which is kind of funny and poetic sometimes. But this, that which we are is forever. So all the people you have loved and have loved you who may not be here anymore, they're here. I don't know what that means and I can't explain it. But it's my experience. Our head cannot wrap around this life, this existence. We cannot grok it. Grok means comprehend profoundly. It was in Robert Heinlein lived in Santa Cruz. I don't know if he wrote Stranger in a Strange Land, right? Yeah. When I was at UC Santa Cruz, apparently had an electrified fence around his property. I guess he didn't want any intruders. I hope I don't get sued for saying that. Great book. So the Martian or whatever that comes to visit, you know, has this word, grok. So all of us in the 60s, you know, or 70s, counterculture types use that word. I like it. See, you're radiant and you're more open. You're just radiating. It's just, ooh, ooh. Yeah, it's kind of like a high. It's often can be like being really kind of altered, you know, like stoned. That's why people like it so much. It's pleasurable to be altered, pleasantly altered. You're more at ease, you know? Kind of like, oh, gosh. Isn't it nice when you stop struggling? You stop fighting yourself or what you're projecting out there? It doesn't mean you can't fight the good fight. I'm all for it. I grew up an activist, marching in the streets for all kinds of things. I'm still an activist. I hope more people get up and start screaming. Right? It's happening. Good. Because when you're awake, you'll take the right action, and there won't be anything in the way of it. No ambivalence. Total clarity. Okay, I'm rambling now, I guess. I don't have, you know, it's such a trip to be here with you because I never know what's going to come out. It's, I guess you could say it's sort of channeled in some way, and it's all you. It's all us working through us. It's not a canned spiel. And that's it. You know, you start to live really improvisationally. You become jazz. You find the rhythm and you listen and you adjust yourself accordingly. So it's like learning to be awakened is like learning how to ride a bike or learning how to walk on a tightrope or surf, where you have to be tuned in to something other than your own thinking. Otherwise, yeah, there's going to be consequences. And that's how reality is. Reality is this balancing, constant balancing of being in reality, being one with reality. That's what happened to me when I was 16 and had the first awakening experience, was that force, I didn't know what it was. I wasn't religious at all. Never really have been. Maybe I was for a while, possibly, when I was a monk. I don't know. Got caught in it for a while. That force, even then I knew something was guiding me. I felt this trajectory of trust into the so-called future, and it's still true, and it's still operating exactly the same. I'm not 16. That was almost 50 years ago. But that movement is exactly what it was then. And the essence of the movement of this is, that's identical for everybody. But how it moves you and how it will guide you and how it will teach you to balance completely unique to you. You can't learn that from anybody else. You can't. You can awaken or get stimulated into awakening being here in this environment, very helpful, to really get your compass calibrated to north. That's the main thing. Go, oh, that's the way. Oh, wow. Oh, I followed this presence. What does that mean? I don't know. Just be it, and you'll find out. And then life is trial and error, you know, falling down, getting up, falling down, staying down, crawling, screaming for help, whatever you have to go through. I know of profoundly enlightened people who were world famous, I'm not going to mention any names, who became profoundly depressed and committed suicide. So, human beings are human beings. That's all. Not a problem. I mean, it could be a problem, but you know what I mean. So don't expect yourself to be, you know, Miss Perfect. Mr. Perfect. That's a different trip. That's just wanting to be perfect. You know, and I've had a lot of eye surgical procedures. And I remember the first time my left retina, the retina tore or something, I was out biking and all of a sudden there was what you don't want to see. Not to mention your whole body going into practically passing out, fainting and sweating and calling the eye surgeon, get over here right away. I did. And he, I won't tell you all the details, but he was basically stitching up my eye. Come on in. Come on in. Hi.
Hey, John.
Mary, good to see you. He starts stitching up my retina with a laser beam. And every time he shoots a laser, it's like, you know, this. And I think he had to do about 150. And somewhere along the way, he apologized. He said, I'm sorry for being so obsessive. I said, I wouldn't want you any other way. So there's a place for perfectionism. And I guarantee you, when you're getting eye surgery, you want perfectionism. You do. So it's okay. So and then you just drop back into the ease of this vast being. And if you have any questions or would like to come up, feel free to raise your hand. I'll call on you.
Sorry, I came late today.
Oh, it's no problem. I mean, we managed.
Yeah.
Thanks, but it's fine.
I've noticed recently that I'm much more aware of when I'm reactive or when something's triggered, and I'm able to see almost the confusion behind that or the identity in it, and which is really, really nice. And yeah, there's a lot of it with the spirituality stuff too. I mean, it's with the trying and there's stuff at work and stuff like that. But it's since we briefly did it a few weeks ago, but the expressing the condition of there, we're talking about it, Collie Matthew and I on the drive over, that there are many places in life where you can just do that. With people that you can't, it's just...
Yeah, that's usually something you do more Well, therapeutically.
Yeah.
And requires
yeah.
an environment that allows it to happen that isn't going to hurt you or others.
Is this one of those environments right now? Yeah. I'm kidding. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And I mean, you know, it's when Ben comes to Molokai, you know, he brings his towel.
Yeah.
And then when he needs to scream, when he's in working here, he just stuffs his towel in his mouth and screams, and doesn't, you know, it's not overwhelming. So,
yeah.
If you need to do that, just get a good terry cloth hand towel.
Go to the
base. Just stuff it in your mouth when you need to really get some energy moving. It's healthy to move yeah. that energy.
I wanted to go into one of those moments that came up recently.
Sure. Okay.
So as you know, I live with my parents and mm-hmm. which is a great environment for poking your buttons.
The best. It's where you got where they got installed.
And I guess
most of them.
if either of them ever listen to this, I want to preface this by saying I have a very excellent relationship with both of
them.
He
loves you very much. He's told me many times.
But wow, yeah. Yesterday at the dinner table, two nights ago, I was hearing a story for the 10th time by my dad after a day of work at whatever, and it was so clear. It was like, for once, can you ask me about my day?
Oh, well, just feel, sit with, let yourself feel that right now. Yeah, just stay right in there. Good. Because that is, you are really are expressing it right now, the condition. That's it. Take a breath. Open your mouth. Take a deep breath. Let go. Say it again. Can you, say it.
Can you ask me about my day?
Just let it come up. Just let it come up, yeah. Yeah, good. Yeah, that's you just see, that's just breathing with it and expressing it allows it to discharge. So it doesn't fester in you and strengthen that resistor. Okay? Go ahead. Say it again if you want, if you need. And when you have expressed it like this and it's opening and releasing, be here for the expansion so you can really get the interface of the relative with the absolute. See? You feel how it's mm-hmm. opening? And it's nourishing the whole space here with everyone who's open and tuned in. It turns into mana. It turns into presence. It is presence, fundamentally. Everything is. That's alchemy. Personal alchemy.
Yeah.
I remember when I was friends with Byron Katie, and she told me that, she said, I look forward to having my buttons pushed because then I know where to do the work.
Yeah, I always heard that and thought,
that's what she said
like,
to me.
It's funny. I mean, I always kind of like heard that and made an idea out of it also. And
well,
but,
it could
but,
be.
But I,
it which, could be turned into a concept.
Which but I was doing, but I guess I wanted to also, part of this is, there's no doing of it. It's just like becoming more obvious.
Yeah,
what,
this is the balancing act I was talking about.
Yeah.
Because when you really get on it, like you are, beautifully, you're utilizing, this is perfect because everyone's experience, every moment is a mirror for them to make, to keep discovering. Very good. Feel that?
Mm-hmm.
See, did you feel the expansion? That, you know, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did.
That to me is like true, go in that direction. It's not true in your head.
No. Yeah,
even in your heart, it's not. It's just profoundly yes.
Yeah.
It's the profound yes of our being that guides us to clarity over and over and over again.
And on the same note, I kind of, a different topic, but I guess similar topic, meditation mm-hmm. and being present and mm-hmm. trying to meditate and the grab, you know, that it feels like there's something there too that's that it's the same thing. There's like a voice that wants to come up that it's like
go ahead, right. It's okay.
Hold on, give me a sec.
Sure.
Like, I'm not worthy. That wasn't entirely it, but...
Are you afraid you're not worthy?
Yeah.
Worthy?
I'm afraid I'm not worthy.
See if that feels right. That's it, okay. Oh, yeah, that's opening up. That's opening your heart. Okay. A lot of people have that one. That's... part of a certain kind of spiritual identity that needs to be seen through and let go of because it's in the way. Actually, just see it. Once you see it like you are, it won't be in the way anymore. Even if it has to happen over and over and over again, it's okay. There you are. See, you're connecting now. You feel that? Yeah. Meditation's hard for a lot of people. I mean, it's not easy to sit there and face yourself, you know, for most people. It's pretty hard. It's okay to not want to do it. It's okay to hate it.
I think the experience with it is also always like trying to get somewhere else, even or some be someone else or experience
something else. Be with that and feel that pull, push, force, that kind of striving, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Because that's the doer. That's the one who's suffering. That's the one who's grasping, right?
Yeah.
That's all. No judgment, no blame. It's not right, wrong, good, or bad. It's just what is. Once you perceive that really deeply, profoundly, you'll be in the perceptual realm of being. You'll shift back into presence. Get it? So you don't worry about that. You don't worry about your stuff coming up, getting triggered, reactive, whatever. It's all grist for the mill. Every bit of it's fuel for the fire. Everything is recycled. We just become really good at recycling. It's alchemy. And the amazing thing is we don't do it. We give it attention and it does it. Wow. It's like a miracle. It is. It is miraculous all the time.
Yeah, and the continuing to learn that same lesson over and over.
That's why I said it's a learning force.
Yeah.
Learning isn't this sort of intellectual idea that you studied the book and you memorized all the facts and now you regurgitate them.
But
I knew that.
I still pick that up though, and it's just humbling every
time.
That
will feed the unworthiness.
Yeah. It's like
Yeah, that's not the same.
It's scary to be humbled over and over and over.
Good.
And over.
That's a good kind of being. That's good. That means that kind of scary means you're opening to your vulnerability. And that's really important. Because that means your heart's opening. You're becoming more available. I can feel it. It's really, I've been seeing it with you for the last couple of years. Feeling it with you. It's really happening. Nice. You can't push that river because our organism is tissue. It's organic. It takes longer to learn. Awakening, you know, is instant. Discovering that's instant. But the actual embodiment and how it transforms this human, boy, that's a lifetime. Makes life very interesting.
Yeah. Thank you, John.
You're welcome. Thank you, Ian. Please, come on up. Yeah.
Oh, is this one?
Oh. I think you've got your water. Your water. Hi.
Hi.
Is that... Yeah, just ice cream cone.
Okay, yeah. That helps.
I think I'm going to paint them like ice cream cones so that, you know, they look a little... That'd be fun.
Okay, yeah, thank you for the laugh. That helps. So I haven't been here for a while.
Nice to see you.
Yeah, I really love coming here, but circumstances, I haven't been able to. So
try to talk into the mic would be great, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Thanks.
Well, I want to thank everyone for being here today, and you know what you were talking about, synchronicity. Or I was thinking that, and not being, you know, focused on the past or the future, but just being with the moment. So what's happening with me right now, it's actually a great opportunity, although it's challenging. So I'm having a plumbing gas line house issue, which is, you know, always stressful and expensive, and I have someone who's helping me, but it's bringing up a lot of feelings for me. Really, I mean, you know, you're supposed to be stressed. It's supposed to be, well, I mean, not supposed to be, but I mean, it's normal to be very stressed in that situation and have anxiety, you know, dealing with financial concerns and everything and having to deal with people. But my reaction is really disproportionate to the actual situation. And I think it's because, you know, it's just bringing up a lot of things from, you know, my childhood and all of that. And I, you know, being here today, it's helpful to just be with those feelings because it's very difficult. And I mean, there's nothing to do about it, but have the courage to be with them.
Good.
And I want to thank you for what you said about, you know, being with your parents and just what I felt when you said, you know, could you just ask me about my day for once or whatever, what that feeling, really helped me actually. So, I mean, I guess I just want, witnesses, is that, because it, for me, it's what comes up is profound terror and feeling utterly helpless. And I mean, I know, you know, it's kind of normal to feel helpless and frustrated and all that in my situation, but it's really coming from a deep, profound place. Mm-hmm. And I want to just be able to feel it so I can let it go, because it's from the past. It's not what's actually happening now. But I have this opportunity, this situation, mm-hmm. to access those feelings.
Yeah, and they're moving.
Yeah.
They are moving through you. And it's, let it come up. It's okay. Just let it come up. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Just let it come up.
And I mean, I think they're very old. I mean, I can feel in my chest. It's like it's very thick. It's very stagnant.
It's okay. It, you know, that it moves when it's ready, when it's got the space and the ability, and that's fine and that's good. You know, it's healing. You're being healed. It's painful, but it's you know, and when you're on the other side of this, whenever that happens, I would really encourage you to have some silent stillness to really let it integrate into a deeper vastness, because it will.
Okay.
So sometimes people have their discharge and they run off and do the next thing right away before they let that really...
integrate?
Yeah, because there'll be an expansion. When we release this sort of thing, we actually... I don't even know how to say it. Yeah, that's right. Just let it happen. The heart breaking is the heart opening, actually. So.
Well, I mean, I think it's just going back to when I was a child and I was helpless. And there wasn't, you know.
Yeah.
I was profoundly terrified. You know, I've really repressed that for so long and I've released a lot of it, but it's just really getting down to a very deep...
You just never were allowed to have your feelings. So let yourself have your feelings and have the inner voice of your own nurturing, loving support person within you that says, that's okay. Let it come. It's okay. It's okay to have those feelings. Yeah. Don't think about them. Just let them come. That's right. Good. Yeah.
And I really am profoundly grateful for everyone here to be my witness and to let me.
This is a great space for that. And we're not done yet, so we'll be here a little longer. And we're going to do a little bit of silent sitting now. But, just let it move, whatever's happening, and be in your body and let the movement happen.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, you're so welcome. Take care. Okay. Yeah. So I have a little time now just for some silent sitting, and then I'll have some last things to share. You are a powerful working field of transformation and discovery. And I hope you can really become blown away and fascinated by your own journey. It's great to be with you. I'm really glad to be back in Santa Cruz and to have this opportunity to be together on a deep, profound, transformative level, and I look forward to seeing you again. In the meantime, take good care of yourselves and happy trails. Thank you so much.